Hey everyone, you're listening to Affirmative Reaction here on SiriusXM and Progress Channel 127. I'm your host, Jorge Andres Olivares. Now, you've seen my next guest in a variety of TV shows, and you've definitely read her work, and you've read about the kind of activism that's tied to the identity that she has. And the reason why I love having this show and the reason why I love welcoming certain people is because it's so awesome to talk about the accomplishments of other creators of color. When you see especially Latinos who are doing the damn thing and showing people what the talents that we have and everything that comes with our beautiful heritage, my next guest definitely embodies that. And so you've seen Diane Guerrero in a variety of shows, including Orange is the New Black, obviously, which she's best known for, and also Jane the Virgin. But she's also in Doom Patrol, which is now in its second season on DC Universe. She plays Crazy Jane. And I am just excited about the fact that everybody kind of desires to be a superhero, but she actually gets to play a superhero and is a part of the superhero team. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about kind of being a character that has already been in the minds of people for about 30 years or so. And talk about how Latinos can be their own kind of superhero, especially when we are seeing that we need to come to people's help more so than we might have imagined before. So very excited to welcome to Affirmative Reaction, Diane Guerrero. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. What an amazing intro. I'm like, can you like write that intro? I need that.
I'll
in
record
my bio.
It and then I'll send it to you. And then it just can play on the loudspeakers with an air horn in the background. No, but I love the thing that I've always appreciated. And especially when Orange is the New Black first premiered, what, like 2012, 2013. It's been a few years now.
Yeah.
The thing that I was always so excited about, and I've been wanting to talk to you ever since then, because when you think about people who are now getting the chance to really show the world what they have, and when you have people like Jenji Cohen, when you have people who are committed to letting creatives and letting artists who are of color, you know, show what they're made of, it's such a wonderful thing. And I'm so glad that, yes, it's a few years later that I'm getting a chance to chat with you, but like, what kind of, like, that's been such an, I can only imagine the journey that you feel like you've been on over the past 7 or 8 years or so. Is it as whirlwind seeming as it seems for those of us on the outside looking in?
Yeah, it has been quite a change. I think about everything that I've been through to get here. You know, it took a lot of work. I laugh because I think that sometimes you don't really realize, like sometimes people just pop into your screens or pop into your radio or whatever. And you think, oh, I like this person or, oh, I like watching this person, but you don't like really understand what it took to get there and all that you had to do to learn what, once you got there, all the learning that you had to do, to stay there. And I certainly have been through, a lot. But it, for me, has been a really positive experience because I've been learning so much. I've been learning so much about myself, about my history, my culture, where I come from, what I believe in, stuff that I didn't really learn in school, things that I had to really learn on the ground, like doing it myself, experiencing life on my own. I've been so glad that I've been able to take the things that I did learn from my mom and dad and my community and applied it to who I am and all of my decisions now. And that opened the doors for Orange is the New Black. That opened the doors for Jane, for me to keep pushing, for me to keep wanting more, and not more in the sense of like, you know, I want to tell stories. Every time I think about my career and like why I was doing this, you know, there've been times where I've had the imposter syndrome. I'm like, oh my God, did I get into this to have some like false sense of like fame, or did I get into this because I really do like acting? I really like telling stories. And then every time I think about my childhood and I think about my mom and dad and I think about, I realize I've been telling stories since I was a kid when I would watch Jerry Springer and I'd tell my mom the whole thing. I'm like, Mom, so like this, she'd be like, act it out, act it out.
I love that.
And I would do it. And then like my mom's friends would be like, why are you letting her watch Jerry Springer? And she's like, ah, mm-hmm. que importa. She needs to learn somehow. I'm terrible. But I think I deviated, but I'm glad that I learned how to take risks and take opportunities. And that is what I learned from my parents, is to take risks, especially my mom, because my mom is all about risky business, which is probably why she isn't in this country anymore. And I tell folks all the time that we grew up in this space where taking those kinds of risks wasn't meant for us, right? That wasn't really like something that was instilled like in this society for us. Mm-hmm. Taking those kinds of chances, allowing, saying yes to yourself, right? You know what I learned when I was a kid? I learned that I had to know everything, right? That's like the colonizer mentality, right? You have to know everything in order for you to try something. You have to be memorized. You have to get straight A's. You have to know everything in order to participate in the conversation, in order to participate in an audition, or if you wanted to play sports or anything, you had to be great already. That mentality, I think, held a lot of us back for a long time and holds a lot of us back for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I think that, I don't know along the way where I decided that, you know what, if I was interested and if I felt that passion inside of me, that was good enough for me to try it. And then if I tried it and I didn't like it, or if I really found out that it wasn't for me, then that's how I would know. And that's how acting started for me. That's how getting into social justice started for me. That's how even applying to college started for me, even getting a job at the Starbucks, you know. Mm-hmm. It really just took having an imagination and saying yes to myself. Oh my God, I don't know where I was going with that, but yeah.
No, but it's so true, because I think part of us, so I'm third generation Texan, but I grew up on the border. My grandfather was undocumented. He came to the United States from Mexico. And I think even though it's been generations since the immigrant lifestyle was a part of who I've personally exhibited or just understood, that still follows us. Like, I think it's like an innate trait that just follows us along no matter what. And part of that immigrant mentality is always giving 125%, always having the ganas to make sure that you can do whatever you set your mind to. And at some time, I mean, I like to think of it as a blessing, but sometimes it kind of holds us back because we're trying overly too much to do things that might just be impossible.
Absolutely. Or because there are different standards that are applied to us and we totally feed into that, right? We have to be the designers of our own life and like what is good enough, right? Like there's no one that can tell us what is like that there is a certain standard of like, you know, you have to reach this to get here. It's like, it's all about growth. It's all about the process. It's all about the journey. That's what they don't tell you. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, throughout this process, I've learned to listen to myself more than what I thought was right, I guess, if that makes any sense. And I can continue to test that out as I try different things. And I see that it's all about learning. It's all about dándole ganas. It's all about what you have, what you have to give, mm-hmm. you know?
I think it's so weird how, for some reason, society has kind of conditioned us to trust the system more than we should. Oh my gosh. Instead of trusting ourselves, right? Like, think about what's possible and what we can do, that we're just told to believe that's just the way things are. And it's kind of up to us to say, fuck that. I'm not going to, like, who cares if that's the way things are? It's up to us to kind of shake shit up, which is kind of how I want to pivot a little bit to this idea of Doom Patrol and being the superheroes of your own story, right? Like, who would you say did you ever even imagine this idea of playing a character like this? Because I think that's such a cool thing that is sometimes we feel like isn't reserved for us.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I wanted... All I wanted to do was be in I wanted to play in a fantasy, right? But for some reason, they don't, like these big studio heads or these big, you know, the people who are in power don't really see people of color in like fantasy land. And I don't understand.
I know.
because why, I don't understand why they don't see us there, why that's only reserved for white people. Obviously that is changing. I mean, I don't know. It is changing because I'm in the position that I'm in, obviously. But I mean, we've seen like a lot of backlash with black actors trying to play superheroes that were maybe originally white, and like fans going crazy and really not accepting that. And I think that we are going to start seeing more demands for the studios to back their actors of color and employees of color, especially now in this time when we're all standing up and saying, you know what? No, we contribute so much to this industry. We are such a huge community. We are part of this country's fabric. Yeah. And so there needs to be solidarity. There needs to be accountability. And we need to see ourselves in those stories, or else mm-hmm. like, you know, we're going to continue perpetuating white supremacy. We're going to continue perpetuating these systems that fundamentally don't work, that fundamentally were bred out of hate and racism. And we don't want that.
Yeah. I think a lot of people forget that entertainment media is all part of this narrative. Like, it's not just strictly politics and news in which we have to be worried about perpetuating white supremacy. There are a lot of other things, just institutions, that because of what comes with the system of white supremacy, that we also have to eventually find a way to deal with. I do want to say for our listeners, especially if you haven't had a chance to catch Doom Patrol, it is critically acclaimed. Rotten Tomatoes has it 96% the first season. First reviews coming out for the second season, which again is now out with DC Universe, are glowing. Like, when, and I bring this up because comic book fans and DC fans and Marvel fans, those are some of the most hardcore, intense people you'll ever find. So if you could talk a little bit about how the fandom has embraced the show and your character.
Oh my gosh. Well, first of all, the fact that I'm playing a superhero on DC Universe is like mind blowing to me. I had, you know, it's all I wanted. I'm like, why can't I, you know, and, you know, so many things have started as like, I'm going to go get that because the world says I can't have it, you know? Mm-hmm. And so from, you know, when I would get interviewed, you know, especially when I did Oranges and Black, they're like, what, you know, what's your dream role? And I would go, well, I want to play a superhero. I want to be an elf. I want to be a fairy. I want to be Frodo. You know what yeah. I mean? I want to have superpowers too. And that was a big deal for me because that's the kind of, I love that storytelling, that kind of storytelling. And I also never saw us represented in that kind of storytelling. So it was a big deal for me to get this gig, especially not just your ordinary superhero, Crazy Jane, even though, you know, her name is problematic. We don't want to use the word crazy, but this character is not only a superhero, but is so complex and intricate. And she is just, she's a full person. Mm-hmm. And I've never really had a chance to play someone with so many emotions and allowed to express them in the way that I have with this character. And obviously this character has 64 different personas. She has DID, dissociative identity disorder. And it's just been incredible to play such a complex character as a woman of color and have it be a superhero. I'm like, only I, okay. Like, I always think like, of course my first gig was, you know, to play in a prison and talk about some of like the heaviest issues that you would ever talk about. And then of course the minute I get a chance to play a superhero, it's one with mental health issues.
I guess I never made that correlation, but that's so true.
it always, it's like, I cannot escape my fate. You know, I can't escape mm-hmm. who I am, and who I am as a person who cares about telling stories like these, and who cares about human beings and the human psyche and how important it is to take care of that. And especially, as a woman of color and coming from a community that where mental health really wasn't a priority, in our communities because of lack of healthcare, lack of money, or because of the stigma that, that mental health has, for people in our community. So, I'm honored to play this character. I love my cast and crew. I love what it takes to make this show, what this show is. It's so challenging, to go from different character to one character to another. It's so, the stunts that we have to do, the world that we live in is so wild. I mean, I'm covered in goo. I'm suspended in the air. I'm like doing all these fight scenes. I like never thought that that would be my life, but I'm so grateful to this show, and I love being a part of it.
And you're super chiquita, right? Like, aren't you like 5'2", 5'3"?
Dude, I'm 5'2", barely. And like, they, like, I'm over there like fighting robots and shit.
Fucking throwing Diane up in the air like, hey, just let her go. Let her go. She's 5'2". She's
I like want to do all my own stunts too. And they're like, chill. And I'm like, nah, I'm going to do my own stunt. Like little
That's fun.
Tom Cruise. I'm like, Tom Cruise does it. I can do it.
For real though.
Yeah, I just all I want to do is make my family proud. And my dad is so funny. He so you know, Doom Patrol, you can is on Cinemax mm-hmm. in Latino America. And so they just played it. Yeah. They just played it in Colombia, and my family, my entire family got to see it. The neighbors, I mean, it was like a big thing. That
you know,
to me,
you know, your family loves you when they're like, la vecina came over, the comadre and all the people came over to see, like, mira, ahí anda mija. Like, look, she's doing all the wonderful things.
My, oh my gosh, they're so, I mean, my parents were actually obsessed with me when I was a kid. They're like even more obsessed with me now. They're so proud of me. They like, they can't believe it. They laugh at me too. They were like, they were talking about Hammerhead, my character Hammerhead. And they were like, you know, cause she's very angry. And my mom was like, mija, ya sé por qué le dieron el rol. Porque usted es igualita a Hammerhead. I was like, Mom, do not talk about my anger issues right now. Okay. That's I'm dealing so with funny. Them. But it's true though. But thinking about why I got this role is because, you know, I am a child of trauma. I understand, you know, although my character is based on a person who was sexually abused when she was a child, I didn't experience that, but I have experienced loneliness and despair and trauma that keeps me like twitching at night at times. Yeah. And I have had, you know, these range of emotions that are quite manic. And I've been through a lot of the anxiety that my character goes through. So I think it really makes sense. And also through this character, I've learned so much about myself and how to heal myself and how to take care of myself. I mean, last season was particularly tough for me to be in the state. So in the state that I was in as Crazy Jane, you know, she was really dealing with some heavy stuff internally in the underground, you know, when she has to face all of the other personas, they're all trying to come to the surface and they're all trying to remove her from that position. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I felt in my real life. And I really was finding it hard to be so open at all times, you know, ready to access those feelings for the character. Or for any other character that would be popping up. And so I had to go back to therapy and work on some stuff that I needed to work on. And I'm better now, but yeah. Certainly the job took its toll too.
I think we forget that as viewers, as consumers, that, you know, we see an actor or an actress performing to the best of their abilities and we think, oh my God, they fucking killed it. The way they interpreted this character without recognizing, like, they probably had to tap into so much, or they probably were emotionally and mentally taxed to be able to do that for us. And we don't follow up on them. We're like, are you okay after everything you did for us? Like, and I think that's something that I'm glad that you touched upon that a little bit, because you sometimes don't get a chance to leave Crazy Jane on set. And you have to deal with what that means.
No, yeah, I found myself apologizing a lot to folks and a little crying and being like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say it that way, but my scene's in 2 minutes and I really have to be angry right now. And people were so generous on set and understood that I had a very challenging role. And also I learned how to be kind to myself and be like, I'm playing this role, so bitch is crazy. She gotta be crazy. but it really has been like the role of my dreams. Like, this is exactly what I wanted to do. Can't wait to see what I do next.
I mean, the cool thing is, when you think about the work that you're best known for, they're all ensemble casts, because I love the chemistry you have with other people. And you saw it in Orange is the New Black, Jane the Virgin, here now with Doom Patrol. Like, what do you get out of working with people in that context?
It's incredible. I learn so much. I'm an addict for learning, and I'm always observing and watching other people in their craft, and learning in which the ways they conduct themselves and some of the things that they take personally, don't take personally. You know, I like watching all of that. And I've been so fortunate to work with some giants in the business and incredibly talented folks, or even folks that like are on, you know, that came in at the same time as me, and watching them grow is such an interesting process and a beautiful thing to watch. I love seeing, I love watching shows and watching characters grow and like develop in their talent. Like, I remember, I love watching green actors, you know, like in the first season, and just seeing them sort of find their way to then seeing them on like the fifth season, fucking rocking it out. Yeah. Like, I love that process and I appreciate it because I've been there. Mm-hmm. I've been there, scared and not knowing what to do, not being sure of my choices and my instincts. And what you see by watching other actors is that they're also going through a lot of the same feelings you're going through. And when they make, you know, once you see them become confident and sure of their instincts, that's when magic happens. And you're like, oh, that's what it is. So it is such a, working with an ensemble is such a, we do become a family, and a strong community that supports each other. And that's why I think it's important too, when telling stories like this, that you are vocal about what you believe in and where you stand, as, you know, as an individual, because that's the kind of world that you should be creating, where everyone is taking care of each other and everyone is honest about themselves and about what they see. So, I mean, I've been so fortunate to work in shows where this has been allowed and even definitely supported, but encouraged. I mean, Orange is the New Black. I mean, we were a group of women that, you know, normally you wouldn't see on television. And we were all hardcore feminists and, you know, queer and of color and, you know, different shapes and sizes. And it was beautiful. It was beautiful. And certainly that kind of, you know, put me on the path of like that kind of storytelling. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm not going to allow bullshit in my life. I'm not going to allow myself to take jobs that are going to exploit me or my community or anybody. Mm-hmm. I feel even stronger about that now.
I think something that's such a testament to the work that you've done and the work that your castmates have done is that every show that I've seen you on, I could legitimately believe that you and your co-stars are on like in a text thread and that y'all text all the time. And I say that because like the kind of chemistry that is apparent between y'all, it really does seem like you, like I always imagine, I was like, Dasha Polanco and Diane Guerrero are probably going to text her and probably texting all the time. And I think it's going to be amazing because it's going to be so cool. And like, it just, and I love that because as a consumer, that makes me feel like what I'm seeing is so real.
Right. And you want to watch people, like if you are going to invest your time and money on folks, you know, there was a time in Hollywood where like people didn't want to know, you know, what a person did. Like, I mean, it's interesting because people want to know everything that you're about, but also they don't want to know what you're about. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like especially if it interferes with their belief system. And so I'm about, if I'm going to watch you, if I'm going to watch a show, I want to know that you are actively doing anti-racist work. I want to know that you are giving back to the community. I want to know that you have, that you are inclusive and diverse behind and in front of the camera. Like that's where I am right now. And I think that is something to be appreciated. And that's something that we should all be looking for. It's like, no more should we be supporting people who are actively looking to protect the status quo or mm-hmm. protect people who aren't good for the world or systems that are not good for the world.
Yeah. Well, amen to that. I love that. I do want to remind our listeners again, the second season of Doom Patrol is now available on DC Universe. And apparently if you're in Latin America, you can watch it on Cinemax, which is
well,
so cool.
Only the first season.
Oh, the first season. Hopefully second season, that'll come back a little bit down the line. Yeah. But check out the first season if you haven't already done so, but please be sure to catch the second season. Again, it stars Diane Guerrero. Thank you so much for joining me for having this little chat.
Thank you so much for having me.